name is Ellen Marathoner. I was, prior to my arrival, I was in Israel, in Baltimore. And I came to Lakewood in 1953, approximately around Hanukkah time. And
continue.
Okay. Start?
Yeah.
And that night was the first time that I'd seen them. It's my experience, I've never seen anybody that had this problem.
Coming now. It's running.
Okay.
It's stupid. Okay. Yeah.
And an appointment to and I came along with another bacher. His name was Aaron Shore from Chicago. Who's was Nifter. And we had made an appointment to have a bechina with the Rosh Yeshiva. And the bechina was in his, he had a special room on the side of the dining room. A long room which was at one time a tea room of some sort, where the room was completely surrounded by windows, and he had a small like a tea table on one side and a larger table on the other side of the room, where with an armchair, a deep armchair, and a table lamp on the table where he sat and learned. There was no other light in the room, and as we walked into the room, he was sitting in this deep chair and looked at us, and bright smile with dancing eyes and blue eyes and a tilted hat, a big smile, warm smile, asked us to say someone saying very warm and felt good. On the other hand, from the picture itself, from the light dancing on his had his upon him, he was also felt a sense of awe. Mm-hmm. That was my introduction to Lakewood. And I remember at different times, after a while, I imagine years later, when there was an arrangement that the Bachman used to drive the yeshiva, took the turns driving to Rosh Yeshiva in New York. First to New York and then in New York, whatever Rosh Yeshiva had to do, provide the transportation, and the Bachman used to drive him. We took turns. I remember one time when it was my turn, and started out very early in the morning, drove him to the office. He had a bunch of appointments, driving from one place to another. Wherever he went, he carried along a safer. He was dealing with things that were involved with Klal Yisrael. But sometimes you feel that a person that's really running Klal Yisrael, he's involved in that arbit, that's his main sense of identity. With that, that's what he's doing. Whereas by the Rosh Yeshiva, you felt that his main involvement was pushing and learning. Right? All these things he did it also sent because of a tremendous achrayus that he had. But his main focus was stuck in learning. After the full day, Rosh Yeshiva was not a youngster at that time, an older person, and we arrived home with. After a fool's day at his house in Borough Park, late at night. As soon as we walked into the apartment, he sat down at a table and opened up a Gemara and started learning. But he wasn't finished working. He had to yet make a couple of calls, again, to places where I guess there was a different time when Elementary made calls to Detroit because there was a psychiatrist there in terms of taking money from some institution for a yeshiva. He had made the decision. I made a call for him, and as soon as it was connected, I gave it to him. As soon as it was finished, he gave the phone back to me. I hung it up. In the meantime, not one second was wasted from his involvement in learning. So that's what I mean. That was his. That's what you felt. You see the tears. Feeling. It had to be done. It just felt it had to be done. And so it's by Moshe Rabbeinu, the same thing. Mm-hmm. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mikdash was Nikra al Shmaya. Why? Because Mosarab Nafsho Leah. You don't see that there was a Messiah in our understanding of what Messiah's Nefesh is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see Moshe Rabbeinu physically that he did anything that would bother Messiah's Nefesh? Or I think it would be Ruchum, or even I think maybe I heard from Rosh Shiva that the Messiah's Nefesh was his sense of achrayis for the Dovah.
Mm-hmm.
He took the achrayis.
And that's why he got the energy.
That's what he did. That's the Messiah's Nefesh.
So does that mean that anybody who takes on achrayis will get that energy too?
Well, to what extent? You know, first of all, imagine the difference between taking achrayis for something that the Eibishter wants to be accomplished. And you take the achrayis, the Eibishter will give you those kayates.
Mm-hmm.
Do.
Okay. Continue.
I can say there was a personal experience that I had once, you know, Shiva, when he said a shir, and you came and you would ask him, you know, a kasha on the shir or something, sometimes he would get very, vehement. I was basically, at the time when I was at Malakewood, I was basically a yosel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I don't remember any time that the Rosh Yeshiva raised his voice at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm convinced that the reason for it is because I was a Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time, not to my credit, but I was working on a Gemara, a Sugya, and basically I had a Shaila in Pshat, which you generally didn't go over to Rosh Yeshiva to explain to you the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
Twice I went, because I had a difficulty, and I went to the Gemara. And he told me something, he explained it to me. I went back, I still didn't understand. I must have went back like 3 or 4 times. And each time he explained it to me, I think a lesson. You know, you can't say it's out of character, you understand? It's out of the impression of what the character of Rosh Yeshiva was. It's not our kid, that was his character, that everything was api Torah, api this is api Musa, this is what how a person has conducted himself, and that's what he did.
Okay.
I know, I just remember, I can't go into particulars, but I remember that how far he was removed from the Talmidim, at least some of the Talmidim, if you could go to Rosh Yeshiva with anything, with problems, with anything, with personal problems, and he really took it to heart. He had such a love and a feeling of his kashrus to the Talmidim. It took like a father to a son. That was his relationship. Remember when Shiva, the point where he wasn't well, I think it was after one of the accidents that he had when he was hospitalized, and doctors suggested that he go to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It was in 1962.
Mm-hmm. Before
the fear. No, the before the fear. Not that sickness. It was, you know, when he had an accident, mm-hmm. Car accident, and he broke a shoulder or something, and after was the doctor said he should go to Florida. 1962. Yeah. Well, it was before the tear. Not long before.
It was November. It was November.
November that year. Anyway, in the beginning of that year, it was my cousin.
Uh-huh.
And he was going to Florida, right? In the town of Florida, I remember. He made a business. He arranged that he called me over and explained that he'd be by the hospital. Florida, but he arranged for a Moshe to substitute for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was concerned, you know, that not his concerns, their brachot, you know, their feelings, their well-being, everything.
That's it. Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi Wilner. Klibus and Matula, good job.
Good job.